The Lord Jesus said, "If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and goes into the mountains and seeks that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, truly I say to you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray." God's love is very real and is always with us. As long as we experience it with intention, we will be able to feel it. There's a brother who has inspired to light and goodness since he was little, but he gradually slides into the abyss of sin under the influence of the evil trends of society. God cannot bear for him to continue to fall, so he guides him step by step out of the darkness and toward the light, onto the right path in life. Let's listen together to the article. "God didn't have the heart to let me fall into the underworld." How a Public Security Bureau local station chief was conquered by God's words. Almighty God says, "Look back to the time of Noah's Ark. Mankind was deeply corrupt, had strayed from the blessing of God, was no longer cared for by God, and had lost the promises of God. They lived in darkness, without the light of God. Thus, they became licentious by nature, abandoned themselves to hideous depravity. Such men could no longer receive the promise of God. They were unfit to witness the face of God, nor to hear the voice of God, for they had abandoned God, had cast aside all that he had bestowed upon them, and had forgotten the teachings of God. Their hearts strayed farther and farther from God, and as it did, they became depraved beyond all reason and humanity, and became increasingly evil. Thus, they came ever closer to death and fell under the wrath and punishment of God. Only Noah worshiped God and shunned evil, and so he was able to hear the voice of God and hear the instructions of God. He built the ark according to the instructions of God's word and assembled all manner of living creatures. And in this way, once everything had been prepared, God unleashed his destruction upon the world. Only Noah and the 7 members of his family survived the destruction, for Noah worshiped Jehovah and shunned evil." After reading this passage of God's words, I fell into a state of deep contemplation. My parents are both Christians, and I was baptized and made a follower of the Lord Jesus at an early age. At that time, my spirit was always turned toward brightness and goodness. When the Cultural Revolution hit China, my father was sent to a remote place in the mountains for reform through labor. And after that, we never got any more news about him. My mother was classified as one of the 4 bad elements, and because she was also a Christian, she was classed as a counter-revolutionary. I wasn't able to escape the damage done to my family either. By the time I got to school age, there wasn't a school that was willing to accept the son of a counter-revolutionary. And when I got to working age, there was no work unit that would take me on. It wasn't until I was 20 years old that I finally got a job. I'd been oppressed for so long and had eaten a belly full of pain and suffering. So when I started work, I resolved to work as hard as I could and rely only on myself. There were a few times when I had to really pull out all the stops, but eventually I rose from being an ordinary police officer to being a PSB local station chief. At the time, I secretly congratulated myself on rising up the ranks. I didn't for a moment imagine that behind this good fortune, there lay a terrifying darkness that was going to swallow me up. It was like a dark, formless pair of hands dragged me down into the depths of sin. To be honest, soon after becoming a police officer, I began to feel that we were no different from bandits or thieves. Our job wasn't to catch criminals or maintain law and order. It was make money on the side. We even secretly directed prostitutes to go and seduce men so that we could arrest them in the act and extort a fine from them. Whenever we arrested someone, we would try to extort money from them through lying, cajoling, or swindling. We have countless examples of this kind of behavior. Behavior that was rife throughout the police force. Nightclubs, dance halls, etc. all had to discreetly give us a few thousand yuan or more every month in protection fees. Otherwise, we'd make life difficult for them. We were ready to crack down hard on them at any time. The prostitutes who worked in these red light places were all pretty afraid of us and would not only throw themselves at us, but would even give us cash. There was one single guy in our station who, under the pretext of being their boyfriend, managed to cheat money and sex from over 100 females. There wasn't a single police officer that I knew who wasn't involved with prostitutes, and I too became so deeply ensnared in this world that I couldn't extricate myself even though I wanted to. As police officers, we had many opportunities to make money, and all it ever took to get some cash was a bit of casual trickery. For example, if a construction company or agency wanted to build some houses, we would let the local gangsters set up roadblocks by the construction sites. The builders would then naturally call us, and we would show up to deceptively resolve the issue by removing the hooligans. The construction companies or agencies who didn't realize what we were up to would, of course, then be very grateful to us and were happily willing to give us some cash every month. But this cash was just pocket money. What we really wanted to achieve by causing trouble for the businessmen was to get batches of free shares in their companies. To this end, we would first conduct some background checks on the boss of the targeted company. And then if he didn't meet our demands, we would make our move. For bosses who like to womanize, we would send prostitutes to seduce them. Then we'd follow them to the motel or wherever to catch them in the act and then coerce them. For bosses who like to gamble, we would make them pay big fines. If any of them didn't cooperate, then we would send in the gangsters to force them out of business and out of our territory. Ordinary citizens would often say things like, "The cops and the robbers are just one big family," or "The cops and the gangsters are as close as fish and water." And what they say is right. When I first started doing these evil deeds, I always felt uneasy at the thought of making dirty money through unjust means. But every time my colleagues roped me into it, I felt powerless to refuse. And after a few years, I felt that I didn't have the slightest bit of remorse left in me. I was stuck in a dark hole and had no way to pull myself out. But I didn't care, as long as there was money to be made. It particularly pains me to remember the times when we forced ordinary citizens out of their homes so that they could be knocked down for redevelopment projects. Those cases were rotten to the core with deceit, fraud, and all manner of evil. Officials from the Land and Resources Bureau and local demolition units would join forces to cheat and bully local residents solely in order to make money. For example, land developers would count the number of houses in the area that they wanted to redevelop and then would give the local government an estimate of how much they could compensate local residents for demolishing their houses and relocating them. If the compensation was 1 million yuan per house, local government officials would work with the PSB officers to coerce the residents to accept the least compensation and then share out the greatest difference between themselves. Generally speaking, in such cases, the local government would want to protect its image and so wouldn't deal with the residents face to face, but would instead let the PSB deal with them. As for those residents who refused to accept the compensation offered to them, the police had a number of different ways of dealing with them. Some of them were forcibly detained. Some residents were given notice to leave, had their houses demolished, and received no compensation whatsoever. Some houses were designated as illegal structures that were not eligible for compensation. Some houses were just demolished immediately with backhoes. Some residents were given a little bit of money. Others just received a promise of money, but never got it. In short, we used every dirty trick in the book to cheat people out of their cash. I remember one time when we were out drinking with a PSB officer from another county. He boasted to us that they had once demolished a 3-story house, but only compensated the owner for 2 stories by claiming that the upper story was illegal. On demolition day, the owner refused to move out and made a big fuss. So the police officer called in their gangster friends, who, in front of a crowd of people, took out knives and slashed the owner's Achilles tendons. It was a terrible thing to have to watch, and a lot of people in the crowd took photos on their cell phones, phones which were immediately confiscated by the police officers present. Someone in the crowd also started shouting about the injustice being done to the homeowner, but was politely invited to the police station for a chat and locked up once they got there. There was even an incident in a rural area where a homeowner refused to cooperate during a demolition, and so the construction company boss talked it over with the police and then told the bulldozer driver to run over the homeowner. All the other farmers flew into a rage when they saw one of their neighbors crushed to death and grabbed the bulldozer driver and started beating him. So the police rounded up the 20 to 30 farmers at the scene and took them all down to the PSB station. Once inside, the police beat the farmers and locked them up, and injected the particularly intransigent ones with a drug that stimulates the central nervous system. Those injected with this drug showed the same symptoms as someone suffering from concussion. They looked stunned and terrified and didn't dare to speak. Faced with national law enforcement agencies like these, ordinary people had no recourse to justice, no matter who they appealed to. For citizens unfortunate enough to come up against the government or the PSB, it was like throwing eggs at a rock. In fact, many of the formalities used in land expropriation and demolition cases were illegal. They all relied upon forced occupation of the land, forced demolitions and removals, and in many places, out-of-date government policies were used as a pretext to cheat and cajole local residents in order to squeeze as much money out of them as possible. Another method was to expropriate more land than officially sanctioned. For example, the upper-level government might give permission for 20 acres to be expropriated to build a bridge, and then the local government would use illegal means to take another 40 acres. These 40 acres would then be split between local government officials, police officers, and local gangsters who would all sell the land to developers for huge profits. I even heard of one station chief who was able to make over 10 million yuan from selling a piece of illicitly gained land. Having committed these evil deeds that were totally devoid of all humanity, although for some of them I was more of a passive participant, I felt that I had become toxic, cruel, and heartless. The darkness was spreading through my heart, and I was turning away from all that was bright and good. My family life went from bad to worse. My wife spent her days playing mahjong, winning or losing thousands of yuan daily, and coming home late. No one was looking after the kids, and the housework wasn't being done. My house was a mess, and my relationship with my wife was a mess. We began to hate each other, frequently argued ferociously, and threatened to divorce each other on many occasions. In the end, we just let each other do what we wanted. My wife had her mahjong. I had my womanizing. I began to spend money like it was water, drinking and singing in the bars every night, and always accompanied by women. My wife became like a stranger to me, and our family life was a shadow of its former self. That was when I began to feel that although I was making loads of money, my life was nothing but misery. I was like a zombie, incapable of rational thought and lacking a soul. I was allowing Satan to corrupt my flesh and was living a cursed life. But there was one thing that I never forgot, and that was I was a Christian and that God shouldn't be offended. About 10 years ago, the CCP issued an important edict that stated, in the main, that all believers in God were to be arrested and detained for 15 days under the offense of disturbing public order. In fact, the reason for arresting believers was to get money by fining them, and so we were ordered to only arrest those with money because no one would pay for the keep of poor believers while they were in detention. But every time a Christian was detained, I stayed in the background because I knew that this was an offense to God, and anyone who offended God would suffer his retribution. I personally saw many of the colleagues who detained and viciously beat other Christians go on to suffer God's punishment. Some of them died very painful or tragic deaths. But when faced with these dark forces, I was powerless as an individual to resist or make any significant difference. All I could do was to go with the flow. In order to relieve some of the suffering in my spirit, I started going to church regularly, but I discovered that the pastors in my church were no longer truly pious believers. In fact, they had all become just more corrupt officials. The chairman of the Committee of Three Self Patriotic Movement sold off all of the houses belonging to the church and kept most of the money for himself. The head of the Administration for Religious Affairs, Lee X, colluded with the chairman of the Committee of Three Self-Patriotic Movement, Wang X, to use donations from believers as capital for their car dealer business and were dismissed from office after being discovered. The next chairman of the same committee, Hao X, embezzled church money that was to be used for buying furniture and was also dismissed. Then there was Pastor Zhang, who used a house belonging to the church as collateral to borrow a large amount of money, which he used to buy a car for himself and one for the head of the Administration for Religious Affairs. He also had a sexual relationship with a nun and was eventually sentenced to 3 years in jail. But the head of the Administration for Religious Affairs tried to absolve him of responsibility by telling the churchgoers that Pastor Zhang has gone to the USA to study for 3 years. I saw that the religious community was as filthy as my world, and I knew that every one of those fake pastors was eventually punished by God. It made me sick to know what was going on behind the dark curtain in these cases, and it was a shock for me to discover that corruption and darkness were rampant at every level of China's society. I couldn't find even a twinkle of light, and so lost all hope and became so depressed that I left the church. In 2001, some friends from my hometown told me about Almighty God's work of the last days, but at the time, I was wildly arrogant and didn't give them the respect or attention they deserved. During that period, I was often transferred to other places as part of my job, but in every place I went to, there was always someone there ready to share Almighty God's work of the last days with me. However, I always refused to go further with it, which I now know was all part of God's arrangements, because I simply didn't believe that God has returned. It was not until 2005 when I learned that many of my mother's church friends had accepted Almighty God's work of the last days that I began to have my first perception of the truth when I started to think, has God really returned? Not long after, my wife also accepted Almighty God's work of the last days, and when she shared the gospel with me, I decided to read some of the books of God's words to try and get to the bottom of it all. But at the meetings over the following months, my heart was still full of doubts about God. I was also usually very tired from having to work overtime, so I often dozed off during the meetings. As a result, even after a few months of meetings, I still didn't understand anything, and so I decided to look for an excuse to get away from the church and continue making money. I was planning to take up a position in Chongqing, and on hearing this, one of the brothers urged me, "Whatever you do, don't leave God, and don't go chasing after illicit wealth. Otherwise, however much of it you make, from now on, you'll lose it all." I didn't believe a word of what he said, and within a few days of arriving in Chongqing, I had already made 30,000 yuan. At the same time, a colleague told me about a stolen car that was up for sale for just 28,000 yuan. We decided to catch the thief, but if the car was in good condition, we would buy and resell it to make more money. The car was 90% new and had a book value of over 300,000 yuan, so I decided there and then to buy it. I transferred 28,000 yuan into the bank account that the car thief indicated, but no sooner was the money in his account than he denied selling me the car. He said that I'd robbed him of his car and even reported me to the police. So we all ended up in the police station, where the car thief received a thorough beating. But he still wouldn't admit to his crime and said he wanted to talk to his superior first. He made a call, and shortly after, 8 burly shaven-headed guys arrived at the station with all the documents to prove that the car was a taxi. We had no choice but to let the crook go. Later, I came to feel that my illicit gains had indeed been taken away from me by God. I was a bit stunned and thought, this really is the true God. After that incident, whenever I wasn't working, I would go to church gatherings, but I didn't really have much life entry, as I still preferred to remain adrift in the world of wickedness. There was still no place for God in my heart, but fortunately, God had not given up on my salvation. In the fall, a colleague and I had to go to another place to track down some money that was part of a case we were handling. Even though I still hadn't started pursuing the truth since believing in Almighty God, I kept myself away from temptations because I knew that promiscuity was one of the vices that God hated most. But my colleague insisted that we go for a massage, and I was unable to resist the temptation. After getting our massages, it was still only 2 p.m., and so we decided to go to a motel. My colleague called for 2 female escorts, students, to join us, but before we started to do anything, my phone rang. It was my wife. "You've just had a massage, and now you go to a motel? You're making a mistake, and God's going to punish you." I was stunned. How could she possibly know? A whole series of doubts and suspicions arose in my mind, making me feel very uneasy. I told my colleague that I believed in God and that God could see everything, so I didn't dare do anything with the girls. He didn't believe me and grabbed my cell phone from me, and so was also given a stern warning by my wife. My colleague then said to me repeatedly, "Your God must really be God to be so amazing. That monitoring equipment that we police use only works when there is a tracking device in the suspect's clothing. But here, we are sitting naked in this motel, so it looks like the technology that your God has is far more advanced than what we use." Later, when I came to make a phone call, I discovered that my phone had somehow called my wife by itself 3 hours before she called me. In other words, the whole time we were in the massage parlor and then the motel, my wife was able to listen in on our conversations. But what really puzzled me was that my phone was set up to automatically lock whenever I wasn't using it. Could it have been God who made my phone make that call? I started to feel very uneasy and agreed with my colleague to send the two student escorts back. But those two girls refused to leave and wouldn't leave us alone. Suddenly, the right side of my chest began to hurt, and my colleague got a terrible ache in his upper forehead. We both felt that this was a bit of an inauspicious omen, but we were still unable to resist the seductions of the two girls. After they had left, my colleague said, "We've got a few more days on the case around here. Why don't we find a couple of girls to accompany us? I don't think any harm will come of it." My head was a muddle, so I just went along with him, and he quickly found another two girls. Around 6 p.m., the four of us hit the road, and while my colleague was driving, I fell asleep. Twice, I dreamt that the car didn't have a steering wheel or brakes. Accordingly, my colleague had nearly crashed after setting off, and then nearly drove off a cliff a little while later. I was in a state of panic and decided to take over the driving. It was when we were passing through a mountainous area of Guizhou and we came to a hairpin bend with a big cliff ahead that I suddenly had the feeling that it was just like the scene in my nightmare and that the car had no steering wheel or brakes. Suddenly, there was a beam of light shining down on me and I saw that we were heading straight for the cliff edge. I turned the steering wheel abruptly and crashed the car into a boulder. The impact was violent and I was knocked unconscious. When I slowly regained consciousness, I saw that there was a traffic cop sawing through the steering wheel, which had been pressed hard into the right side of my chest, pinning me to the seat. When I was fully awake, I became aware of the intense pain in the right side of my chest, so agonizing that I thought I was going to die every time I breathed. I lifted my head and saw that my colleague had been thrown from the car and was lying several meters in front of me across a big boulder. He was facing me, and I could see a big gash stretching all the way across his forehead, and his face was covered with blood. I thought he was dead, and the whole scene made my flesh creep. I then turned my head and saw the two girls weltering in blood on the back seat. They weren't moving either, and the fact that the cop was trying to save me made me think that they were probably dead too. When they lifted me onto the stretcher, I fell unconscious again, and the next time I came round, it was lunchtime the following day. My wife was sitting by my side, and I immediately asked her about the other three. She told me that they were all still alive. I got very emotional and started crying. As I wept, I prayed to God, "Oh, thank you. Thank you, God. You've saved me. If it weren't for you, I'd have long died long ago. This is your way of punishing me, and is also your love. From now on, I won't do any of those evil things again. I know I've been wrong." At a later date, I read these words of God's: "As you do not know how to lead a life or how to live, and you live in this licentious and sinful place in our licentious and filthy devils, he does not have the heart to let you become even more depraved. Neither has he the heart to see you living in the filthy place like this, being trampled by Satan at will, or the heart to let you fall into Hades. He only wants to gain this group of you and thoroughly save you. This is the main purpose of doing the conquering work on you. It is just for salvation." God's words helped me to understand his intentions. Although the traffic accident at first sight appeared to be bad, it was clear that hidden in it was a big effort by God to save me. God had employed a very unusual method to save me from the brink of destruction and get me away from Satan's probing, so that I could gain God's care and protection. I could really feel the essence of God's love, and this was the event that made me be certain about God. As time went by, I began to learn more about God's righteous disposition. In the past, I had made a lot of money illicitly, which had provided me with a luxurious lifestyle and many material pleasures. But I had committed so many sins and crimes that I was living in a permanent state of anxiety and met one misfortune after another, either trouble at home or a variety of accidents and mishaps. I was virtually in a state of panic every day, and I knew that most of my colleagues were also prone to a variety of misfortunes. Around this time, I read these words of God's, "The wicked must be punished," and that's when I understood that God's disposition cannot be offended by any man or woman. If we do something bad, we will suffer retribution for it. From then on, I decided that I wouldn't do anything that went against my conscience, and I would only take my salary at work and make do with it. Although my income fell a lot, I felt much more at peace and at ease. At the time, I did have a few worries about not making enough money and eventually falling into poverty. But experiences showed me time and again that everything is being controlled by God, and that all we have to do is submit to Him sincerely and will be well rewarded with His blessings. To be honest, after I stopped doing bad things, the family finances were seriously affected. There was one time when my children needed 12,000 yuan to pay school fees. I was going to try and borrow the money from someone, but I just couldn't bring myself to ask, which left me deeply worried for a while. Who would have thought that early the next day, one of the residents in my neighborhood would come knocking on my door, saying that her husband knew me and that she had a house that she'd been trying unsuccessfully to sell for some time. It turned out that the night before she'd had a dream, and that a person in the dream told her that I could help her to sell the house, and I was the only person who could sell it. As a result, she said that I had to help her no matter what. I couldn't refuse, so I went out of our apartment block and found a nearby real estate agent and gave them all the necessary details. By some strange coincidence, there just happened to be a potential buyer in the agent's office at the time, and within 2 days, the house was sold. The agent gave me 10,000 yuan commission and the neighbor another 2,000 yuan, which sorted out my kids' tuition fees problem. By helping me resolve this urgent matter, God showed me how He works. On another occasion, someone else asked for my help in selling a house, and as the house sold for a good price, I was able to make tens of thousands yuan within a month or so. After experiencing God's mysterious ways, I came to understand that as long as I abided by God's demands, He would always open up a way forward for me. Knowing that everything is being arranged by God's hands allowed me to stop chasing after the shady money that was such a source of anxiety for me. I could also plainly see all of the blessings that God had bestowed on my family. After believing in God, my wife was able to break her 10-year-old addiction to gambling at mahjong, and her serious stomach illness and rheumatism both disappeared as if by magic, leaving her looking and feeling many years younger. And I felt free and energized after I stopped doing evil deeds. Our relationship became gentle and harmonious. For the first time, I felt true joy. After experiencing God's love and salvation, while also enjoying a newfound spiritual peace and ease, I found that more and more light was reaching the deepest recesses of my heart. It was like I had rediscovered the faith and trust in God that I'd had as a child. I was no longer willing to commit any sin, and so, after much thought, I decided to quit my job and never go back to police work. But no sooner had I set my heart on leaving sin behind me Then Satan began to test me again. My chief told me he wanted to promote me and promised to not only give me a pay rise, but also allocate an Audi for me to drive. The thought of getting these perks got me excited again, and I didn't sleep a wink that night. So I prayed to God. Oh God, I really don't know whether to give up this job or not. I really like Audis. I've wanted one since I was a child. Just as I was dithering like this, I got an unexpected call from my wife. How come you're not home yet? I told her the reason, and she replied, You don't want to give up that job? Then you'll die in an Audi. That's when I realized that the sudden call from my wife was all part of God's arrangements, and so I decided there and then to quit my job. A month later, on May 12, 2008, the devastating first Great Sichuan earthquake occurred. The day after the quake, I got a call from the wife of a former subordinate. You've got to get to Wenchuan as soon as you can. My husband's died. He had been driving through Wenchuan, the epicenter of the quake, on his way to a meeting. When I got there, I saw that the Audi that my ex-colleague had been in had been crushed by a giant boulder, and that he and all the other passengers were dead. Only his wife had survived, because she had gotten out of the car earlier to go to the toilet. When I saw the horrible way that my former colleague had died in that Audi, I wept loudly. But I also gave a prayer of thanks to God. Thank you, God. Thank you for saving me again from the brink of death. You saved me again. I should have been one of those who died in that Audi. Later on, his wife asked me, Why did you quit? My husband was after your job for ages. You treated him well, but he just wanted to bring you down as soon as he could. So I told her, I quit because I now believe in Almighty God. And also told her all things that had happened since I started believing in God. And so she too came to accept Almighty God at a later date. God's words say, Look back to the time of Noah's Ark. Mankind was deeply corrupt, had strayed from the blessing of God, was no longer cared for by God, and had lost the promises of God. They lived in darkness without the light of God. Thus they became licentious by nature, abandoned themselves to hideous depravity. Such men could no longer receive the promise of God. They were unfit to witness the face of God, nor to hear the voice of God, for they had abandoned God, had cast aside all that He had bestowed upon them, and had forgotten the teachings of God. Their hearts strayed farther and farther from God, and as it did, they became depraved beyond all reason and humanity, and became increasingly evil. Thus, they came ever closer to death, and fell under the wrath and punishment of God. I was very moved by God's words. I recalled how becoming an officer in the CCP administration was like falling into a giant vat of sin, sinking deeper with every step. I remember all my fraudulent ways of making money, how I used my position to enrich myself, the high life and the fine meals, and how debased and debauched I became. I was living a subhuman existence, and it was all because I had moved far away from God and was associating with evil demons. My predicament had totally been a result of associating with Satan and demons, and if God hadn't saved me, my fate would have been the same as those people who betrayed God in the time of Noah. God's wrath and punishment would have befallen me, and I would have died like my colleague. Nowadays, God has been incarnated in human form to express truths in order to cleanse and save people. He has come to awaken our hearts and spirits, to help us to leave sin behind and gain His care and protection. God's work is extremely practical, and his love is extremely real. When I turned back to God and began to live my life according to his words, God not only saved me from sin and blessed me, he also saved my life. This is what made me understand what God meant when he said, "Only Noah worshiped God and shunned evil." And so he was able to hear the voice of God and hear the instructions of God. He built the ark according to the instructions of God's word and assembled all manner of living creatures. And in this way, once everything had been prepared, God unleashed his destruction upon the world. Only Noah and the seven members of his family survived the destruction, for Noah worshiped Jehovah and shunned evil. God is telling us that Noah gained God's blessings and survived because he listened to God. He did everything according to God's words. He worshiped God and he stayed far away from evil. We, in these modern times, must also conduct our lives according to God's words. No matter how bad or corrupt we were before, as long as we can accept truths, truly repent, and implement God's words, then we too shall gain God's salvation and grace. I'm sure that anyone who hears how God worked on me will be able to understand that God pulls out all the stops when it comes to saving people, and that he won't let a single innocent soul fall into the underworld. For my brothers in arms, in the all-reaching PSB police force, I want you all to know that the words above all come directly from my heart. I know that you have all had many bitter experiences that you find hard to talk about, and that you have to do many things that you don't want to. But whatever you do, don't be fooled by the CCP and fight against Almighty God any longer. I urge you all to give yourselves some space to back off, otherwise, you will find yourselves on the road to damnation. As soon as someone does anything that offends God, then they are beyond redemption forever, because blaspheming or resisting God is a sin that cannot be forgiven in this life or in the afterlife. Just like Ren Changxia, a police chief in the province of Henan, who used her position to violently clamp down on the Church of Almighty God and arrest its members, she died a terrible death in a traffic accident. This completely confirms what Almighty God has said. The wicked must be punished. He who defies the work of God shall be sent to hell. How can ordinary mortals fight against God? Also, my own experience should be enough to tell you that God doesn't keep score of our transgressions. So as long as you give up your evil ways and start doing good, repent before God and return to him, then you too can enjoy peace and happiness.